The following podcast contains spoilers.
Hey, it's Joe Bunzarelli.
Man, what an episode. On today's show, Bob and I are all about Ahsoka, Part 5.
This is the Bunzarelli Show.
Kevin used to be on the show back in the day, like seasons 1 and 2. But he's been texting me lately after Ahsoka, and he gets excited, and he's like, hey, did you see that episode? And the first thing I said to him was, I could see why this had a limited release in theaters, because it felt like it had a beginning and an end. You know, like, even though it was part of a story, it was kind of standalone. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of, like, reminded me of Empire Strikes Back, where at the end, they're like, don't worry, we're going to go save Han. But it was still, like a hopeful ending kind of thing. But what'd you think, Bob? A lot of stuff going on in this episode.
Oh, it was cool. It was real cool. And it was cool that it wasn't just a little bit of Vader, like, cameo, like just walking through a hallway real quick. It was a full on Hayden Christensen episode. And that was real cool. Loving here how they went through the conversion, like, from him as Anakin to Darth Vader throughout the episode. Like, they sort of took us through that that transition. Oh, you know, one question I might have asked you last week. I had it written down. I wanted to ask you, and it's a stupid question, but I got to ask.
No, yes.
Now, when their lightsabers changing color, it's not that they're going to the lightsaber store and buying a green or a red lightsaber. Like, I'm on this team now. I'm going to use this lightsaber. The lightsaber just changes with them. You know what I mean?
No, for this dream or ghost thing or whatever it was, that was to represent things like, here it's evil Darth Vader Anakin. But the actual history, there's something behind the crystal making that the Sith do something different to theirs. There's something about building a lightsaber.
So it's different lightsabers.
Yeah, so it's a different art of lightsaber making. That's why the red represents the Sith way of making a lightsaber. It's something they do to the actual crystal. But it's not just like, hey, I'm bad, and they turn the red on.
Because that kind of makes more sense. Yeah, because otherwise Anakin, like, one day looks at his lightsaber and goes, oh, did I just went evil. Let me rethink
Sith the whole time. Oh, that's embarrassing. Yeah. Obi-Wan must be upset.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I am being bad. My saber, it's red.
Oh, that's your problem right there.
Yeah. That's the problem.
No, that's part of the did you catch the glimpses of Vader? Like, they do certain things, like they show that, like, that was like they did it
the
just
lightning strikes
to
and then like his, like, shadow turns to Vader. Yeah.
Because and she knows, but that's not what that's about. But it's still there. It's still in her head. Like, that's a part of it. Besides, like, her legacy with Anakin. There's no ignoring that.
Oh yeah, it's a huge thing. You can't have Anakin and not mention it. And it was almost funny when Anakin says, like, she's like, oh well, you know, look what happened to you. You know, referring to him becoming the Darth Vader, and he's like, oh, you mean that? That little thing,
everybody
turned evil and killed everybody.
Everybody's always on my back about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you kill one group of younglings. Master Skywalker, one kid you kill. I mean, the 10 others.
Yeah, one school of children you kill, and all of a sudden you're the bad guy.
I stabbed Reva. She did okay. Now, here's the cool thing is, like, I think it brought, like somebody that's not into the cartoons and everything. You basically got everything you needed there. You know what I mean? As far as bringing you up to speed and seeing that dynamic. What it did for me, what I didn't realize was it really showed you, because I see cartoon Ahsoka, I never put it in my head how young she was. And this really put it into perspective. Like, you know, she was that more active character. Little trivia, I just looked up. I lost the name. But the actress that played young Ahsoka is the same actress that played young Gamora in Avengers Endgame and Infinity War. That was like where Thanos is like perfectly balanced and she's giving her the knife and everything. Same actress. I just caught it like on Twitter, like while getting ready for the show. I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. But
she did seem familiar. I bet. So now how the Clone Wars thing I thought was cool. from a perspective of someone who didn't watch the Clone Wars, it was a cool little walkthrough of it. How was that for you seeing it as a Clone Wars guy? Like, was it like, oh wow, I get to see this in live action versus cartoon?
It was just enough because, like, Dave Filoni once again wrote and made Clone Wars with George Lucas. Like, they made it together. And so he's writing it, but what he did was cool was he gave you enough that it wouldn't push away somebody like that's not into the cartoons like you. Basically, here's what you need to know. But the way he wrote Anakin, that Anakin, the way that character was there, and it's still reminiscent because Hayden's kind of keeping it consistent, but there was more of that fun, heroic Anakin that we got in the Clone Wars. That was like Anakin became a lot more likable in the Clone Wars. And what the Clone Wars did was it made Revenge of the Sith. You're like, oh man, Anakin was a good guy. Kind of like filled in that gap. You see him be a hero for like, you know, a bunch of, like five seasons of cartoons. And it kind of just added to that.
Yeah. Cause the movies, it just goes. So that was probably between episodes 2 and 3, I would assume.
Yes. Cause
the movies, it's just like, oh, okay, he's a kid, and then it's like, all right, he's a Padawan, and now he's evil. So the Clone Wars, it's like, okay, yeah, there should be a lot more of him being good before it all goes bad.
You know? Yeah, and what it does is, like, I believe it's supposed to be like 10 years of the Clone Wars between episode 2 and 3, which is why they were able to throw in all this extra stuff and, like, you know, actually really flesh out, like, the different things going on, the different warriors. And the other thing they did was they made the stormtroopers. They kind of delved into the fact that they were kind of not just stormtroopers, the clone troopers. They delved into the idea that they were like individuals and kind of made certain characters have personalities. One of them was Rex, that was like a real big fan favorite. Basically, it was the stormtrooper with the blue on his helmet. And he was like, well done. Of course, voiced by Tamora Morrison because he played all the clones. So I don't know if we're going to see an older Rex or anything show up, but yeah, it was really cool seeing that like brought to life, you know, and they gave you just enough of it to kind of show you where Ahsoka's head at. Now, I would think to you, did that help you kind of understand Ahsoka a little better or at least like get her and get to know her and like her a little better? You know, like, remember we talked last week? You're like,
there was no history to her. She was just, a stone cold Jedi. There was nothing to her.
Yeah.
So now getting to see, all right, she was like almost seemed like orphan who was just brought up, you know, brought in to be a Jedi as a soldier Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, minus all the peacetime stuff that all the other Jedis we've ever seen got to go through. Mm-hmm. So you could see why she's a little colder than most. You know what I mean? It sort of went, it backed it up.
And I think carrying that Vader Anakin baggage with her is also, I think, has a lot to do with her hesitance to Sabine, whatever went down, that why she left her. So I think that something like that makes you doubt yourself, you know, seeing like she refused to train Grogu. Remember when the Mandalorian brought Grogu to her?
That's right.
Like, I think she's just still emotionally scarred from all that stuff. I also noticed after, and we go back to the Anakin stuff, but afterwards, like, all of a sudden she's smiling and she had a personality, like when she was like Ahsoka the White when she came out, like when she kind of leveled up in the thing. But I think it cleared all that emotional baggage she was having, whether it was when
she woke up in the after they pulled her out of the water.
She did more smiling and like personality than she had the first 4 episodes. So it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a bad, it was like purposely showing she became in this dark guarded character that she like finally, you know, made this peace with herself.
I agree. It's like it was for something. It wasn't just poorly written. It was she's walking around with this baggage. She dealt with it. And even with the girl Sabine still being gone. And, you know, she wakes up and it should be like such a down moment. It's like she wakes up and she's happier than before. It's like, yeah, I know we still got to get her. Yeah, I know this and that, but you know, I'm at peace. Let's do this. Yeah.
Even the, when like she actually rehears like what went down, that Sabine like, you know, gave in to Baylan and gave the key over. There's no anger or anything to it. It's still concern for Sabine. Like she's past all that. Not that she was an angry person. She's past like the disappointment. Like in the beginning when Sabine got hurt, Ahsoka's like, oh, where's the key? That, she's kind of cold to her. But now she's like, look, I'm going to get Sabine. She forget about whether she did the right thing with the map or all that. And she's off of the Thrawn focus. Now she's about the rescue Sabine focus. You know,
yeah,
now
I think that, Sabine knows that Ahsoka can remember things based on touching stuff. So now from Sabine's point of view, Ahsoka falls off the cliff. Sabine's kind of effed in that moment right there. She's like, okay, if Ahsoka survives, she's not coming up that cliff anytime soon. I gotta, how can I help? It's like, all right, I go with them. I touch something. I leave something behind so where she could follow me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Sabine's doing, I think that's why Ahsoka isn't mad or nothing, because Ahsoka knows, all right, I got it. Sabine's still with me. She just did what she had to do to survive and to keep following these guys with the map. And now how can I follow her? You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of like I left her a message pretty much. Like left her a trail of breadcrumbs to follow. So when Ahsoka says to Anakin, I won't fight you. And he just goes, I've heard that before. That was when Luke goes to Vader.
Oh,
I won't fight you. Yeah, and that's kind of like...
I did catch that.
It was very subtle without being too corny. You know what I mean? Just very like... Yeah. They kept it good without like ruining Vader. You know what I mean? They lightly tread that. And then when they said Senator Organa said she could only hold him off for so long. So it's not Bail's dead. Bail blew up on Alderaan. So it's Leia. So they mentioned Leia was like just holding them off, you know, just little things I caught that didn't like roll by me.
Catch.
No, but it's like, okay, they're alive. It's like a couple of years after Return of the Jedi. Yeah, when Anakin when he went into Vader mode at that one point, all of a sudden like his dialogue became Vader.
Yes.
Even though it was his voice, where he goes, incorrect, you know? And then he goes, you lack conviction. And they gave him a little bit of echo, but didn't overdo it.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was great for Hayden. Like it's been like the era of Hayden's comeback, like between the Obi-Wan stuff and then this, but it's just like people like from that era growing up that were the prequel era people, they're just like, you know, it's good, you know, they're like get to see him be like awesome, get like, you know.
Yeah. And why not? You know, he's still young enough where he could do it.
Yeah.
And there's so much storyline, you know, that they went through in the Clone Wars and the cartoons, but with these shows they could keep dipping into, you know, we have them available. Why not? You know, it's not killing any legacy. The first three movies don't have a legacy like the second set, you know, the movies from the 70s and 80s do. To where we're like, you know, you put Luke or Mark Hamill into it, it's like he could really mess with something. But Hayden, you know, I love Hayden to death, but you put him, it's not like he can really mess up his legacy. He can only add to it.
Yes.
So use Luke him as much as possible.
Luke is such like a, yes, I agree. You got to handle Luke very carefully with kid gloves, as opposed to Anakin. You can only make him better. Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
You can only add to Anakin and make you like him more, which I think this really did for a lot of people. Like, I think somebody saw episode 3 and somebody saw this and had no idea. If I showed my wife this episode, she'd be like, oh, this is cool. He's really cool in this episode.
Yeah. Standalone. His standalone performance in it, like everything else aside, is awesome. And it doesn't look like we're watching a CGI thing, because he's young enough to where you could take, I'm guessing he's around my age. You could take a 40 something year old guy and make him look like a 20 to 30 something year old guy. And it's not like a CGI video game look to him. You know, you can almost just do it with makeup. You don't have to.
Yeah. Whatever they did to him, because they did nothing to him in Obi-Wan, but they just did a little something to him to make him look younger, like a little bit of the aging. And it was like, it flowed smooth. He looked good. I was like looking through my notes before, and I was like, I wrote Mon Mothma because of one line. It's really nitpicking, and it's not nitpicking. It's just nitpicking English. she goes, you're going to have your command permanently suspended. Isn't that what suspension is? It's not permanent. You can't be permanently. That's like expelled.
Yeah.
Folks, right? I saw it once. That makes no permanently suspended. That's not suspension then.
You
know, you would be like revoked or something. I don't know. Yeah. I was even like,
but I bet in the military they have that terminology just in error.
Maybe. I was even like, this is kind of stupid, but like, nah, I'm going to bring it up because I'm looking right at it. And I was like, like, what is that? Like,
yeah, somebody, permanently suspended. Somebody to, so like, revoked, right?
Like, if you ran that script to a grammar check, I'm sure it would come up. Like, something on a spell check or something.
Wasn't it like had the purple line under it, like a grammar check on this one? Like, nobody right clicked on it. Like, oh, let me see. You might want to change this to revoked. Permanently suspended is not a thing.
I tell you, Captain Teva, Carson Teva, he's becoming a cool Star Wars character. He's like the little consistent between the guy with the beard, because he was all from Mandalorian too, if you remember. He's the guy that offered.
Wasn't he from the movies also? I know I've asked you this before.
No, but he was from Mandalorian. He was the guy that actually went and asked the Mandalorian for help. He was the guy that Zeb sat next to in the bar. So they're just making him like that consistent character, which made me think that maybe he would get the Mandalorian for help. I don't see that happening. I don't see any of that stuff. I mean, maybe, but I just thought that was like the gateway, because he did tell, you know, the Mandalorian, he's like, yeah, you know, we'll work per job kind of thing. Yeah. That's out. I mean,
there is a Mandalorian in danger. So maybe calling on a Mandalorian, you know, Sabine is a Mandalorian. So it's, so word's got to get around, like, hey, you know, Sabine, someone's got to know Sabine in that circle.
Well, it would just, Bo-Katan definitely does. I don't know if that would kind of like dilute the story. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If that would kind of take away from that. Because now here's the cool thing is next episode, we're going to go to that other world now. Because now that we got past this hump and this is the mid-season thing. And this is kind of what we talked about last time. It's like you're at rock bottom. All the stakes are there. Brush the dust off your shoulders. And Anakin, now you're back swinging, right? So you're back swinging. And now we got four more episodes. Now we're going to go to this other galaxy.
And which could be anything.
It could be anything. Yeah. And then we're going to deal with. And we still got big surprises because we still got Ezra. Whatever Ezra's situation, I'm wondering if he's held prisoner or something, but all of a sudden, you know, he'll have a lightsaber scene or some kind of cool. Ezra's going to have a cool scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got Sabine Wren over there. So a lot of cool stuff coming forward. So I think it's going to be, you know, exciting stuff. Definitely brought the show. I think if you were to look back on this whole show later, you're going to be like, man, this was really well done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm still gonna see our buddy. Who's that guy we like so much? Oh, Baylan Skull. You know, rematch with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we got Shin out there. We got a lot of players still. We barely saw any of them. And this that's what's gonna happen next episode. We're gonna catch up with all them. Yeah. So yeah, and that'll be a fun time, and we'll definitely be there. So Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, buddy.
And we'll see you guys. Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. We're on YouTube as well as all your podcast players, and you can find all the links you need at Bunzarelli.com. We'll see you next time.